Welcome to the Pope Adelaide Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this experience, and we hope that you will follow us at
www.cotr.com. The death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Tell somebody and they say that's large. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? He says again, be what? Strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you. Will be with you. Will be with you. Tell your neighbor, I know he will. He will be with you wherever you go. I want to preach a message by the Spirit simply entitled, The Show Must Go On. Let us pray. Speak, Father, your servants are listening. We pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. It sounds wonderful. You and I have to know that God will never allow his people to be stopped by just one man or one woman. You've got to know that I may be a pastor, but the ministry of God is much bigger than me. Hallelujah. Thank God for that because to be honest with you, most of us are unqualified to do that which God has called us to do. And let me just pause right here and go ahead and preach with some honesty and transparency. I hope you'll join me in that in saying that the truth of the matter is if people could see behind the scenes at some of the mistakes that we've made and some of the mistakes that we're actively making, they call us unqualified too. That's why, I don't know about you, but I'm glad ministry is bigger than me, because if it was only limited to who I am and what I can see, then people would never be able to become what God has for them, and people would never be able to go where God would have for them to go. But the fact that ministry is bigger than you and that is greater than you and that God has more in store for his people than what you are able to do just with your life, you ought to say thank you for that. You ought to. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that ministry is bigger than us. Because if it was not bigger than us, then when we fell down, everything would fall down. If it was not bigger than us, then when we stopped, everything would stop. But anybody found out in your life that even when you stopped, the world kept turning? Good God Almighty, it was a wake-up call, wasn't it? You weren't as big and bad as you thought you were. There was more that God could do even beyond you. And so Israel at this point in their history is challenged by coming to grips with this pungent reality. Because a brother by the name of Moses, who has been their leader for some time, The brother who God used to bring them across the Red Sea. The brother who God used to lead them to the banks of the Jordan, about to cross over into the promised land. The brother who God gave the Ten Commandments. The brother who God spoke to on Sinai. This was a bad man. The brother who God used to bring water from rock. The brother who God used to bring quail. The brother who God used to make the bronze snake so that when the people would look at it, they would be able. The brother whose hands God raised so that as long as his hands were up, they would be willing down in the valley down below. The brother who spoke on the behalf of God and whose face shone like light when he came back down from the mountain. This was a bad man, and you are a bad man, and you are a bad woman too, my brother and my sister. But I came by to tell you, it still will go on without you. And so Moses, even though he is who he is in the eyes of the people, the Bible says that at this point God allows him to die. Can I tell you a statistic that I heard a preacher give that shocked me? Because we live in a time period where science is constantly changing and people are constantly rebuting facts and pushing one down and lifting up another. This stat has remained the same throughout all eternity. It is this, that absolutely 110% of all the human beings who are alive today will die. That means that at some point your time has to end. That means that at some point your time has to be over. That means that just like Moses, you're coming up to an end point in some way, shape, or form, not just in your life, but in a season or in a place where God has you. Moses, God says Moses is dead. And I like the way he says it, because he does not sugarcoat it. He just gets right to the point. Yes, he's dead. He's gone. He's not getting back up. Don't have no mistake about it. Nope, I'm not about to levitate. I'm not raising him from the dead. I'm not going to go pick him up. Nope. He's dead. He's gone. Get over it. You know, there are people who God may have pulled out of your life. You need to get over it. I feel like preaching right here. Go ahead, let me make somebody mad at me. There are people who God has pulled. There are relationships that God has said is over. And you keep hanging on. You trying to give a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and bring them back. They're dead. They're gone. They flatlined. You can shock them. You can put two things on their chest. Grab the defibrillator if you want to. They're dead. They're gone. They're not coming back. It is over. I came by to tell you, just like when God says it's live, you can't keep it dead. When God says it's over, it is. So God has spoken. God says, get over it. Moses, my servant is dead. Moses, my servant is dead. But I've got Joshua for you. I've got Joshua coming. I've got another leader who I've already been preparing to walk in his stead. So here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to understand. Though Moses may be dead, my brother, my sister, though Moses may be dead, Redeemer, God has already prepared you to move on without him. That's good news. God was not surprised by his end date. God sets our coming into this world, and God sets our departure. He knows, and he's already getting you ready. Tell somebody, he's already getting you ready. He's already getting you ready. So even if the one who you look to is gone, the God who sent the one to you is still there. And in this case, God has given through Moses to the people something called the Book of the Law. It's the law. It's his covenants. Now, many of us focus on the fact that God used Moses to part the Red Sea. That's supernatural. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Many of us focus on the fact that God used Moses to send the plagues and to bring them out of Egypt. That's amazing and that's wonderful. That's amazing and that's supernatural. I understand. We like those things, but one of the really most amazing things that God did with Moses was give him the law by which the people could come into relationship with their God. And that's one of the greatest gifts you can give anybody, is relationship. And when you get to a place where your relationship is deepened with God because of somebody that God put in your life, baby, that's something to celebrate. Don't just celebrate the accomplishments. Don't just put plaques on walls. Don't just celebrate the big things. What you really ought to celebrate is that you've grown and deepened your relationship with God. What you really ought to celebrate is that you can worship him like never before. Before Moses came down Mount Sinai with those Ten Commandments in his hand, the people didn't know anything about worship. The people didn't know how to live holy. The people didn't know anything about their God. But what God really used Moses to do was to pull the people back into relationship with him. So now they praise like they never.
never praised. And now they shout like they never shouted. And now they can run for the Lord. And now they know to lift up holy hands. And now they know what to touch and what not to touch. Because before God showed them that, they were dying needlessly from things they could have avoided and kept from taking them out. But because God has used Moses to bring them back into relationship. Has God deepened your relationship? Anybody been growing in your walk and in your time with God? Anybody grateful? And you can say, yes, this happened and yes, that happened. But what I'm most grateful for is how over these 50 years, God has deepened his walk with me. God has shown me more about himself than I've ever seen before. God has walked with me and talked with me. And I know I didn't praise like this before, but now I lift up my hands. Now I open up my mouth. Now I try to not just worship and act holy, but I live holy too, because God has brought me into relationship.
So God gives Moses, God gives Moses the commandments, and he tells the people through Joshua, he says, obey the commands because they're with you. The man might be gone, but the teaching is still there. Obey the commandments because they're with you. Walk with the teaching because the teaching is still there. The man may transfer, the man may leave, the man may go, but the teaching, what he gave you, came from me, is still there. And so you can hold on to that. And here's what I like about it. At this point, they're not able to walk around like we can with their Bibles. They don't have their phones. They can't scroll down and they can't pull it up. They don't have that luxury. But here's what he says. God tells the people through Joshua, you need to meditate on it. Good God Almighty. Ooh, Lord. What that means is you need to take what you were taught and you need to put it on the inside of you. Because here's what I've learned. Once it gets deep down on the inside of you, things can change all around you. But if you get the word on the inside of you, if you meditate on his word day and night, then even when your Bible is not there, when the devil tries to come into your mind and he tries to pull you down, when you meditate on it and it's on the inside of you, God by the Holy Spirit will call all things to remembrance, and that thing will raise up into you and say, no, don't do that. Blessed are the meek, don't hit him in the face. Oh God, don't do that. It's good for you to forgive, because if you forgive, I forgive you. Don't hold it against them. Don't do that. Don't treat them like they treated you. Treat them like you want to be treated. Don't do that. You don't have to go out there and run around after those things anymore, because I'm your God now, and I'm going to supply all of your needs. When you put it on the inside of you, even when you can't access it on the outside, it's available to you on the inside, and can't nobody take that from you. Can't no struggle take that from you. And when you put the word on the inside, because Jesus is the word, and in the beginning the word was God, and the word was with God, and in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I came by to tell you that there's a joy that's on the inside of you, that even when there are tears running down your eyes and you don't know which way to go, when you meditate on it. Anybody ever had a little talk with Jesus and meditated on his word and got it deep down in your mind, and even when you could not access it on the outside because it was available on the inside, you still had a smile on your face, still had joy in your heart, was still in your right mind, even though you should have lost it a long time ago? Why? Because it's on the inside.
Yeah, tell your neighbor, tell him it's on the inside. It's on the inside. That's why I praise him, because there's something right now happening on the inside. That's why I respond to the word like I respond to the word, because there's something happening on the inside. That's why in worship I lift my hands. Nobody touched me on the outside, but something happened on the inside. And when it happens on the inside.
So he says, I want you to take the word. I want you to meditate on it. Meditate on it. Put it on the inside day and night. Then he says, these are two things I need you to do. I need you to choose to be strong, and I need you to be courageous. That courage piece, even beyond that strength piece, is important. Because being courageous means I've got to continue to push boundaries. Being courageous means I've got to continue to be a risk taker.
Being courageous means I can't become sedentary just because the man who was leading me, Moses, is gone. No, no, no. Just because he's not out front anymore, I can't withdraw into myself. I've got to be courageous. God, help me in here. That means I got to still speak up for what's right. That means if nobody else on my pew worships, I got to be courageous and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. So I'm going to lift my hands. You can look at me crazy if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and be courageous. That means when God tells me to shout, I shout. Whether I like it or not, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to be courageous. That means that when I see somebody down who may not be popular in the eyes of the church, I'm going to come to their aid anyhow. Even if it means that they're going to come against me too, because that's what it means to be courageous. That means that when I see a single mother walk in the church, I'm not going to tear them down because of their mistake. I'm going to lift them up. I'm going to be courageous. That means that when I see somebody that needs help, I'm going to step outside of myself. And even if I got to put myself in harm's way financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to be courageous. Can I tell you, courageous people, that means I'm going to dare to love again. I got hurt before. They left me before. But I believe that God still can. So I'm going to dare to do it. I'm going to be courageous. That means I'm going to give my tithe. Because the tithe, don't get quiet in here. That means I'm going to give my tithe. Even though I don't know where it's going to come from. Because he promised that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing. And I can be scared if I want to. I can keep it to myself if I want to. But I can try to trust my God. And I'm going to be courageous. Would you tap your neighbor? Tell him, be courageous with me. Come on, let's give him a courageous praise. Come on, be courageous with me. Come on and shout for God. Come on and be courageous with me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to make it out. But I know that I know that I know that my God will make a way. Won't he do it? Come on and be courageous. Come on, give him a courageous wave. Give him a courageous shout. Shout it out. Shout in this house. So he says, be courageous. But here's the challenge. Oh, that's good. But you gave us a place that's currently occupied by somebody else. We needed the pep talk, Jesus, because when we look over there, they got spears, they got knives, they got swords, they got guns, they got all that. Thanks for the pep talk, because when I showed up at my job, somebody was in the seat that's more qualified than me on paper. Oh, thanks for telling me that, because every man that I come, when I tell them I'm not going to just sleep around with them, they look the other way. Thanks for telling me, because somebody is currently occupying the place that you've given me. Here's what I want you to know about God. He is insistent upon us learning to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm getting ready to close. And so here's what he will do. God will give you a promised land. This thing has been sitting with me for weeks. Just these two words, promised land. I haven't been able to shake it. It's been on me. What's there? What am I missing? What am I missing there? Well, God told me, you know, for the last period of time when you've been preaching on this, you've been talking a lot about Canaan. And you've been talking about them coming into the promised land, the land itself. And you've been talking about where they have to go and talking about the borders and talking about how it is. And it's not like Egypt, talking about Abraham going to the promised land. And you've been talking about Isaac being born of the promised land. You've been talking about the promised land, but see, the focus has been on the land. You got to do more focusing on the promise. If all you do is focus on the land and you don't focus on the promise, you'll want to quit. You'll want to give up. You'll want to throw in the towel. You won't want to explore the promised land, because you'll be so focused on the land, the way it looks currently, the way it feels currently, what's happening currently, that you'll lose sight of the promise. The promise is not that when you show up, it's going to be easy. The promise is not that you're not going to have to fight. The promise is not that you're not going to have enemies all around you. The promise is not that that people aren't going to tear you down. As a matter of fact, the real promise is in this life you will have tribulation. But the complete promise is be of good cheer, because I've overcome them all. I came by to tell somebody in here, Church of the Redeemer, God wants you to know you're standing on the verge of your destiny. But don't focus so much on the land that you miss out on the promise. And let me give you some of the promises of God. The promise is, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And lo, I'll be with you always. The promise is, I'll keep food on your table and clothes on your back and keep you in your right mind. The promise is, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. The promise is, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. The promise is, everywhere your foot trod, and that's the final thing, and I'm ready to get out of here. The promise is, everywhere your foot trod, I'm going to give it to you. That means you can't stay still just because Moses is dead. That means you can't keep stop moving forward just because Moses is dead. The show must go on, so you got to keep on walking, keep on moving. See, God ties your receptivity of the promise to your willingness to follow him to the blessing. If you stand in one place, you'll never get everything that God has for you. If you sit right there and you just stay where you are and stop trusting God, you'll never get everything he has for your life. But the Bible says, then God told Joshua, just keep on moving, because everywhere your foot trod, I'm going to give it to you. That means if you keep on walking, if you keep on moving forward, if you keep on charging ahead to your destiny, God will bless you and God will give it to you. But you got to pursue the promise. You got to keep the show going. You got to keep moving forward. Come hell or high water, you got to keep on walking. Is there anybody here? And you determine in your life, I may have some good days, I may have some bad days, but I'm going to keep on trusting in the Lord. He's never failed me yet. He'll bring me out. Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he make a way? Won't he open doors? Won't he keep you? Won't he protect you? Won't he provide? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.
People in leadership will change. Keep your eyes on the promise. The land, as you move, you know, if you do what God is telling you to do and you keep moving forward, anybody ever been on a highway drive longer than a couple hours? You know something about it is that if you move, the land changes. It's natural, as long as you're on earth, for you to have to drive up some hills and down some hills. It's natural, as long as you're here on earth, to run into some traffic from some unexpected accident. It's natural, while you're here on earth, to sometimes have to take a detour because a road is closed or construction is happening. It's natural for you to sometimes have to call somebody, even if you leave ahead of schedule, and tell them that you're running behind schedule because of factors that ain't got nothing to do, completely beyond your control. It's natural. But see, you'll get discouraged if all you do is focus on the land and how the land is changing and what's coming to you and what's going and what's there and what's not there. But if you keep your eyes on the promise, the destination hasn't changed.
And the same God who promised to take you there then, when Moses was out front, shows up, and the first thing he wants to let you know is, ain't nothing changed. I'm still God. I'm still in control. And the promised land is still yours if you got faith to get up and take it. Come on, get up on your feet and give God some praise in the house on today. Amen. That's good news, somebody. That's good news. Moses is come and go. Keep your eyes on the promise. The show must go on. Amen. Amen. Let's open up the doors of the church on today. Come on, would you put your hands together? There may be somebody here, some man, some woman, some boy, some girl in need of a church home. You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Would you come? We're going to begin to clap just to celebrate you even now. Would you come? Do you need to dedicate yourself to the Lord? Do you need to be